From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Unless something changes, this coming fiscal year, Baltimore City's public schools will operate with their funds cut to close a $130 million budget gap, the largest in years. School CEO Sonia Santelises says more than 1,000 people will be laid off. What would a cut of this magnitude mean for students? Today we hear from the principal of an elementary middle school in northeast Baltimore that stands to lose more than 20% of its funding.
When I saw my budget, I cried. I know how far we have come since I've been at Hamilton, and I just didn't see a way that we can do that next year.
Dr. Patricia Drummond, principal of Hamilton Elementary Middle School in Northeast Baltimore, is with us on the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. The Baltimore City school system is facing a $130 million budget shortfall in the coming budget year, the largest in recent history. School CEO Sonia Santelises is prepared to lay off more than 1,000 people. Mayor Catherine Pugh has expressed hope that Governor Hogan will come through with more funding from the state, but his public comments on the matter have not been promising. What would a cut of this magnitude mean for students? To get a sense of that, today we zero in on one school, Hamilton Elementary Middle. Dr. Patricia Drummond, principal of Hamilton, is with me in the studio. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a bit about Hamilton Elementary Middle. You're in Northeast Baltimore.
How many
students?
We have around 770 students right now.
How many teachers?
We have 42 regular teachers, and then we have support staff, guidance counselors, arts teachers, liberal arts, performing arts band, and then other support staff.
What should people know about the school?
Hamilton is a quiet jewel in the heart of Baltimore, and we have fabulous students. We have great supportive families, and we have the hardest working teachers.
So tell me about the students.
So our students come from all over the city. We are an honors, gifted, and talented learning site for the district, as well as we have the Ingenuity program from Johns Hopkins. So we have students from all over the city. We have many, many after-school programs and clubs. So we have an art club. We have a gardening club. We have a robust garden with chickens. We have a chess league. We have National Academic League. So our students really drive all of those programs. We wouldn't have so many programs if our students weren't excited and, you know, and really active about pursuing those extracurricular learning opportunities. They're really passionate about them.
Falling enrollment has been blamed for some of this budget shortfall. Has enrollment at Hamilton fallen?
Enrollment at Hamilton actually has not fallen. We've actually been increasing in enrollment for the past 5 years. So we are trying to capitalize on those numbers, but it also makes it difficult in a building that's not really prepared for that many students.
How much money does Hamilton Elementary Middle stand to lose?
We're losing $1.2 million.
That's out of a budget of what?
A budget of a little over $5 million. We're also losing Title I funding, which is about $250,000. So 20% of our budget is being cut because of the actual loss of funding, but we also are not qualifying for Title I funding this year, so that was an additional loss for us.
What is the socioeconomic profile of your students?
So we have dropped a little bit with our students who qualify for what they used to call free and reduced lunches. It's split about half and half, but it dropped a little bit this year. The number of students that allowed us to qualify for Title I funds dropped by about 18 students this year. And so I think the district is also, you know, funneling those Title I funds to the schools that have the highest need we did not meet that bar this year.
And so you're losing how much in Title I funds?
$250,000.
That $250,000 is being now, you still have it this year, spent on what?
On teachers. We were able to buy 3 additional teachers with that money.
A lot of people in the community were blindsided by the size of this budget shortfall. Did you see it coming?
We certainly saw that there may be a shortfall in the upcoming years, but there was no fathoming that would be so large.
And did you consider Hamilton Elementary Middle adequately funded before these changes?
It's never adequately funded. There's always more we can do for our students, who are some of the most vulnerable students in the state. So we could always find more technology. We don't have a laptop or computer per student, so there's always more that we can find to adequately support our students.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Dr. Patricia Drummond about how the Baltimore school system's massive budget gap will affect the school she leads, Hamilton Elementary Middle in Northeast Baltimore. How much autonomy do you as a principal have to decide where the cuts will be made?
So as an instructional leadership team, I work with my staff to really decide what would be the least impactful cuts for our students and how we could still try to operate, losing as little momentum for student learning as possible. So the district gave us guidance on positions we had to have in order to operate, but outside of that, we were able to do it ourselves and come up with a plan ourselves.
So take me inside that process. Budgets, as I understand it, were due at City School headquarters last week.
Right.
Where will you cut at Hamilton Elementary Middle?
Right. So because our largest funding bucket is salaries, we have to cut from salaries in order to meet that 1.2. So we are cutting at least 12 positions between full-time teaching positions and then support staff.
How many of those are teachers?
8.
8 of the 12. So you're losing 8 teachers plus 4 other support staff.
Yes.
So will class sizes increase?
Oh, absolutely. Right now we average around 25 students, but they will be going up over 30 students. Some we're looking at 35 to 40 students possibly.
You mentioned to me earlier a lot of vibrant extracurricular after-school programs. What's happening with those?
Again, we're going to call on our teachers to try to volunteer their time to hold some of the clubs. Some of the clubs don't have as much cost, but for example, robotics is a pretty expensive program. It's a couple $100s for the children to participate in competition, you know, purchase the materials. That's a program that we may not be able to support. We don't have it in the budget for next year. I feel really bad for our teachers. They work so hard all day to support their students, and this hurts our teachers too. It's not just hurting the children, it's hurting our teachers.
What about students who are lagging behind in a particular area of academics?
Right. So we have what we call intervention programs that support students who are not performing on grade level, and we have various intervention programs. So it could be a particular online program, or it could be Experience Corps, who are retired professionals that come and support students, or it could be other paraprofessionals, and we've had to cut all of those.
All of those?
All of those.
So if a child is not doing well, what will the approach be?
So we'll definitely be putting more responsibility on the teacher whose plates are already overloaded. We'll also be looking to partner with some outside organizations, some business partners, looking for some grant money to see if we can fill that intervention gap. It's not acceptable that we don't have additional support for students who are struggling to meet grade level expectations.
You mentioned a minute ago that with the size of the cuts that you needed to make, you had to look at salaries. What other kinds of cuts were you able to make that don't affect staffing, or are there others you're looking at?
So we help to give our students as many outside experiences as possible that they may not have from their family. So we have a robust field experience program. 5th and 7th grade do an extended week program, so they'll go to North Bay or Echo Hill, which are outside, you know, like experience programs where they, you know, learn to climb and boat and sail and do other things out in the woods. And we usually support students in doing that. We won't be able to support students doing those field trips this year. One of the biggest is the textbooks. We have to replenish textbooks each year and novels for students to read. We will not be able to purchase any new books this year, other than middle school math is the only one that we'll be able to fit into the budget.
Does Hamilton Elementary Middle have a library?
We have a small library, and we've been, you know, hoping that it will have support for the upcoming years, but we'll be calling on the local Enoch Pratt Library to help to support our students in that way.
We have to take a quick break here. It is Pledge Drive Week at WIPR. In a few minutes, we'll pick up our conversation on the record about how major budget cuts to Baltimore City schools are affecting one of those schools, Hamilton Elementary Middle. Right now, we need to remind you how you can support this kind of radio. Nathan?
Become a member. Come to WIPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. If you're just joining us, we're talking today about the $130 million budget shortfall facing Baltimore City schools. My guest is Dr. Patricia Drummond, principal of Hamilton Elementary Middle School. Tell me more about how you reached the decision to make the cuts that we've been talking about. How did you shape this budget?
So when we found out how much we would be receiving, how much our cut would be, we have what's called an instructional leadership team, which is representatives from each of the grade levels, teachers, and support staff. And we meet each month to kind of drive instruction in the building. We're, you know, we come together to make the decision. So it's not just me. It's not just the assistant principal, but we make decisions as a team. And so we came together to really kind of brainstorm how could we meet this budget deficit. You know, first the discussion was really, let's look at extracurricular things. Let's look at paper. Let's look at books. Let's look at, you know, field trips, buses. And the realization came to us that there's no way, even if we cut everything that was extra, we could not meet that 1.2 million. And so then we started looking at positions. Where was enrollment this year a little bit low that we could combine some classes to make two larger classes, so for example, instead of three smaller ones? As we were making those decisions, we weren't looking at cutting people. We were looking at cutting positions. Although, you know, those positions are people. They are people that we'll be losing because we won't have as many teachers.
No one has been given a termination notice or told that they won't be back next year at this point.
No.
What would be the timing of such notifications?
Well, Human Capital is still working out the full timing of that. You know, all schools had to submit their budgets first, and then the district determines how many positions overall are available, and then they'll be working that out at their level at North Avenue. That won't come from the school.
Were parents involved in deciding what kind of cuts had to be made?
Parents were involved, not necessarily in deciding what cuts, but certainly providing information about what was valuable to them. Where could they see cuts? What were they really adamant about keeping in order to keep the character of the school, the history of the school? Parents were very vocal about what was important to them.
Was there one particular thing that stood out that a lot of parents said, you got to keep this?
Well, teachers.
Teachers.
So teachers are what they were most adamant about. Even though they love the after-school programs, they love our gardening, they love our band program, but, you know, we're a school and our priority is to teach children to be academically successful.
And what are you hearing from parents, especially now that the budget proposal has been made?
Our parents are very angry. Our parents don't understand how this can happen to a whole school district. $130 million. You know, it's difficult to wrap your head around, and parents are really scared and frustrated. We've made incredible strides over the past few years. You know, we are doing great things for our children here in Baltimore City, and so to see that kind of swept away, it's very scary for the parents, for their children who will be here next year. You know, large class sizes without the programs that really make children passionate about school and excited about coming to school, they're very nervous.
Do you anticipate losing students over this?
I hope not. You know, I'm still believing that the money will come through from somewhere. I don't know where. Just it hasn't even fully hit me yet how we would operate without those teachers, without those members of our family.
You talked about how much this hurts teachers. Have you lost any teachers since this has been talked about? Are there any teachers who have exited?
Not exited, but there are teachers who are actively seeking teaching positions in other districts. Many of them are first, second, or third year teachers who are anticipating being cut or being surplused when all the positions are filled and then there aren't positions for them. We just try to talk to them about, you know, hanging in with us, and we'll try to see a position somewhere, even if it's not at Hamilton, somewhere in the district. But it's difficult. I can't make promises for anyone. I can't make promises that I can't fulfill, you know, if the money should not come through.
You mentioned a few minutes ago hoping that there'd be some business partnerships that might come through, I think, for some of the extracurricular activities, correct?
Right.
Tell me more about what kind of partnerships, where else you might look for funding that might ease some of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, we always are looking for grants and business partners who can come through to support various programs. GoalSecker is a partner. Arts Every Day, we have grants through them. Irvine Nature Center, they support a lot of our gardening programs. And then teachers always do Donors Choose. So that's kind of been our saving grace.
Donors Choose.
Donors Choose is a crowdsourcing program for teachers. And so they'll put a project on Donors Choose and explain why they need it. And various people will donate the money to support whatever program. So we have to get creative. You know, we collect the box tops and submit those. So it's every nook and cranny that we can look to find funds that will support some of those outside programs.
As a leader, how do you keep morale up at a time like this?
It's hard. It's hard because there's so much unknown. There's not a lot of stability. I've been at Hamilton now 5 years, and I try to always support my teachers. I always have an open door. My teachers know that they can come to me with any questions, and I'm going to be honest and upfront with them. And I just try to reassure them that whatever happens, we will be in this together. You know, we will always work to do our best for our students, and to take some time to really consider your partner and your neighbor teacher and your team of teachers, and to be mindful of what other people might be going through. So this year we started a program of mindfulness at the school. And so we do deep breathing and we do gratitude and we do, you know, various other mindful strategies. And so usually it's for the students, but really of late we've been saying this is for us too. This is for the adults. We need to be grateful for whatever we have and, you know, be able to support each other through it.
What are your own feelings looking ahead to the next school year?
So when I saw my budget, I cried. I know how far we have come since I've been at Hamilton, and I know what we try to do for students, and I just didn't see a way that we can do that next year with that budget shortfall. I'm nervous.
What are you fearful of?
I'm fearful that the money doesn't come through and that we have to operate on a shoestring. The stresses of working in an urban area, the stresses of working with students who have a lot of needs, is already great. And we have built in support for those students and for our staff members, and we just won't have any of those supports. So students who have emotional needs or behavioral challenges that need a break or need additional support during class so that they can make it through the day, those supports are not going to be there anymore. We don't have space for paras. There are positions that we just don't have in the budget. And so I can just see the stress increasing. We already put so much on teachers that I'm nervous of the breaking point.
I'm very grateful to you for taking us inside your thinking on this. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Dr. Patricia Drummond is principal at Hamilton Elementary Middle School in Northeast Baltimore. I'm Sheila Cast. You're listening to On the Record on WYPR. Tune in again tomorrow for more on the Baltimore City School budget deficit. We'll focus on the funding formulas that govern how much money city schools get from the state. Where did these formulas originate? Are they adequate? Speaking of funding, it's the last day of the pledge drive here at WYPR. Here's Nathan.
Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.